I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about fellowship with one another. In 1 John, it says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. And if we're walking in the light, one of the results of that would also be fellowship with people, with one another as well. Just a symptom of us walking in the light is wanting to have fellowship with God and fellowship with people. We talked about this week on our yearly cycle updates, unity. People working together in unity is one of the greatest accelerators that there is. So today we're going to be taking communion over this, just asking God for help, receiving this promise from him today, that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, but life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. Was stressed out all the time, all the weight and pressure of life just sitting on me. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business, and my business was just very up and down. We got off to a really good start, but then I got into some issues of just staff turnover and got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars every month. And it wasn't for lack of seeking. I was seeking for truth. I was traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts I could find, reading books, taking courses, going to seminars. But I just wasn't finding what I was looking for. And it got to the point, remember, I was walking around the neighborhood with my wife one night and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across the challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over. So I started this challenge, and right away I could see that my way of doing things, my way of thinking, and God's way of doing things definitely were not in alignment together. God just began to work on me a little bit, began to renew my mind just a little bit. Then one day I came across this verse, Proverbs 13:22. Just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals. I want to create lessons, systems, teachings for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances, all the different areas. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. No clue where to start. But I began to seek after God, began to press into him. He began to teach me. He began to train me. He began to supply. But it wasn't always easy. He took me through a process. We'll see the process here a little bit later today. Just coming out of the wilderness, learning to put off my old ways, learning to believe and trust and rely on him. You have to learn how to walk in this different way of living. And over the course of about 10 years, it just documented what God was taking me through as I went through the process. It turned into this whole program we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion, I believe. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around, to turn the tables, to take the pressure off and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like this activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found it's this opportunity. We can take these promises that God has made. For example, we walk in the light. We have fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. We could take this promise today. We can take communion over it. It serves as a marker in time to say, you know what? That's the moment in time. I believed, I received that promise from God. I activated it. I'm believing, I'm experiencing his help walking in that promise from this point on. And communion is very powerful because we're combining the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're pulling that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance. And then we combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do to help us remember in the taking of the cracker and juice. Unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and awe and reverence for Him. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from Him, just walking in darkness forever. But He chose the way of love. He chose to send His one and only Son. Jesus is willing to come. Think about who He was. He's willing to humble Himself, even unto death on a cross. He's rejected and betrayed, spit on, hit, mocked, ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross. And worst of all, I believe He's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto His body. It says it pleased God to crush Him. He was smitten by God. His body was destroyed. He became sin for us. But on the other side, He's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God and makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through His one sacrifice. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank You for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of Your dear Son. I thank You for Your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank You that Jesus was smitten for us so that You could fight for us. And I keep asking that You, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know You better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which You've called us and the riches of Your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of Your power to us who believe. The same power that You exercised in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And You put all things under His feet and made Him to be the head of the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Father, I ask You to bless us, to make Your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in Your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive Your purpose and grace, Your love and Your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask You to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask You to keep Your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in Your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in You. We ask You to stretch out Your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? How we're going to do it, we're going to get connected to the Master, because our relationship with him, it's got to be brought down into today to impact all the different areas of life today. And masters of anything are truly just masters of the fundamentals. That's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals with some presence and fun and energy today. Now, we've got a new slide I'm going to put in here today. Just a reminder of God's process. This is the process God took the people on when he brought them out of Egypt, took them to the promised land. He brings them out of darkness, out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. They cross the Red Sea, which the Bible tells us was like their baptism. And then they go into the wilderness. And really the key for the people that came out of the wilderness was they just simply believed that God had something better for their lives and he could take them in. Rather than wanting to go back to the way things used to be, they're willing to move forward by faith, believing and trusting in God, just that simple childlike faith. And then they crossed the Jordan. With the Jordan River, they had to step into the waters first before the waters parted. God needs us often to take that first step of faith. But then when they got on the other side, it says that God was not going to give them the land right away. It's going to take 1 year, more than 1 year, for them to possess the land so that they're prepared to handle it. We see in the Bible, Esther, before she became queen, had to go through 1 year of beauty treatments. When we cross over, now it's learning to rest and trust in God and to rely on him, allow him to beautify our lives rather than us stepping in and trying to do the work ourselves. And that's where we begin to step into these promises that he has for us in our lives. So how are we going to do it? Number one, we're going to get in position. Our first fundamental, let's get in position today. Position in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. We're going to take our position today in humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Just that simple childlike faith and humility that just simply believes. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. We're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our positioning all day long. Now, being in position is a big deal. As we're going to see today, you walk in the light. What do we have? We have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with people. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ, and God has taken everything that he has and gave it all to Jesus. And it puts us in position to be able to receive and have access to everything that God gave to Jesus. What's in there? His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. Get access to God's health and energy to flow through us today. We've got more than enough time in there. He supplies all of our needs financially according to his riches and glory. We've got purpose for today in there. Grace for today in there. We have fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. It's a big deal. So our first step is to get in position so that we're in position to receive. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. We have hearts that understand his grace, to make us more consistent when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And you probably had the example where you turned a molehill into a mountain. You got some problem. You keep rolling it over in your mind. You keep talking about it, thinking about it over and over. It seems like the problem goes bigger. Well, that same principle works in the opposite direction. If we'll learn to give those problems over to God and to magnify him as bigger, he's going to grow bigger instead on the inside of us. So how are we going to do it? We're going to magnify his word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We're going to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. Magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, looking back at all that God has already done in our life. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion and sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's just simply choosing to handle them in a different way. Rather than magnifying those problems the way most people do, we're going to let go of them. We're going to give them to God because we're going to trust that he can solve them a whole lot better than we can. And we're going to magnify him as bigger. We're going to rest and we're going to trust in him. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the problems, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. Like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and the stress and the worry. We're toiling away in our mind trying to figure things out. There's the dread of the future as we envision all these worst case scenarios. And you get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel his peace and his love and his joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy begin to go, to flow through us. All of a sudden, we got more than enough time. We got access to God's time. We got purpose for today. He supplies our needs according to his riches and glory. He gives us the desires of our heart. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again. Because every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. It's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, I've missed it. I'm off track right now. Forgive me. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. Then we start just magnifying him, praising him, and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You pray that simple prayer, you just feel that weight lift off you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love and the energy just begin to wash over you again. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us, but we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases or maybe a sentence that we keep rewriting every night to keep reinforcing God's standards for our life. As a reminder, a commitment to walk in God's standard, his way of doing things in our life. It might look something like this. God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And you just keep rewriting that to keep reminding yourself, wait a minute, God's working for my good. I'm not going to retaliate at people. I'm not going to snap at them. I'm not going to give them the silent treatment. I'm going to give them the same grace God has given me. And I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? And then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? and just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. Every day he's trying to navigate us throughout the day. We've got to stay plugged into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in him again. And then our fourth fundamental, doing what we know to do today. The final thing I've learned to do in my journal before bed is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned, sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of him. And on the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind God. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? And I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. What's the first words we see God speak? Let there be light. And so I started starting my days this way. Very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing just brings a different energy into the day. It just sets the tone for the whole day. And then we're going to walk out that plan with God today with a willing heart and a good attitude and just that simple childlike faith. He's right there with us every step of the way, just confident faith. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. He's the source of beauty. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything that God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at this scripture today. This is 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. Now notice the truth needs to be practiced. Something we got to practice. These are one of our fundamentals, walking in the truth, walking in love, walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord. We get this opportunity, first of all, to even be in the light with you. We can have fellowship with you. We can walk with you. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to be in the light, to have fellowship with you, fellowship with one another, to walk in unity with you and unity with people, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We're asking for your help today, Lord, to maintain our positioning in the light, to help us to practice the truth, and to have this amazing fellowship with you, fellowship with people in our life. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember that God sent his one and only son for us. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross, to be spit on and hit, and mocked and ridiculed and betrayed and rejected, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, he's separated from God, crushed by him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same spirit and power that raised him from the dead now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. Can have this fellowship with God, fellowship with people. It's a beautiful thing. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. Now, believers, we just start walking in this fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. It just helps us to know God and his heart and his goodness that much more. Let's talk about some workout stuff. Oftentimes, when we talk about workout stuff, the question comes up. You know, I don't have that piece of equipment. I can't do that exercise. I have this injury. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And almost every single time when somebody asks me that question of, I can't do this, I can't do that, my question almost every single time to them is this: what can you do? What can you do? Can you do a half a squat? Can you do a push-up on the wall? Can you do a calf raise? Can you wiggle a toe? What can you do? Oftentimes we procrastinate and we don't get started because we have all these excuses. We're focused on what we can't do. What can you do? Start there and let's grow it over time. What can you do? Do something today. If you're not in the habit of exercising regularly, use it as an opportunity. It's meant to be an opportunity to have fellowship with God, to connect with him. What can you do? Let's get started today and let's grow it from there. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.